Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Center for Christian Music Studies at Baylor University. This podcast was recorded at the 2012 Alleluia Conference. For more information about Alleluia, visit our website where you will find conference dates and details, audio and video recordings, and a list of confirmed clinicians for next summer's event. For this information and more, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.
And so I stepped into the church at First Baptist Church, and like I was telling, they had about 12 in their choir, and didn't really do much. And they had a full-time minister, and yet it just wasn't, you know, sometimes you just kind of get your steam knocked out of you. He was at that place, and he was a great guy. So I took over and started changing some things, and one of the biggest changes that I can tell you that happened was I was a woman. And in Oklahoma, I can say that because I am an Oklahoman. I've been there most of my life. In the Baptist area, women just weren't doing that. And then I had another strike against me. I was going through a divorce. But God, you know, one thing that I really noticed in my life as I started praying about this, because I really did pray about it heavily because I strongly want to follow God's leading, was, you know, when God opens that door and says, I want you to go here, you know, you just got to follow God's direction. And so God really led me to follow this path. And now, like I said, I've been there for 10 years. We now run 55 in our choir. Easter, we sang with the Easter pageant of 100. So God has just really, really blessed the church, and our numbers have doubled. We've gone to 2 services. I'm kind of now doing a full-time position on a part-time basis, and so it's kind of a big way. So we also have, so as I was dealing with that, we have some things that I was trying to pray about, what you would want to talk about. First, I was supposed to talk about thriving and surviving the bivocational ministry. And so that in itself, I think, is hard when you're juggling 2 jobs, you know, and making sure you give the importance that you need to that job, but yet you sustain your family and you do your other job as well. Mine is kind of seasonal, which is really nice in that teaching pairs really nice with ministry, because during the summers I have the time to really plan and really do what I need to do. And so I really make a point, I visited with a lady yesterday, that during the summers I have definite goals. Like right now, before I came here, I already have all my music selected and bought, and that's being filed in my library this week, in my music library at the church, and I've already signed it a Sunday. Now, yes, life will change and revivals will happen and our pastor will change the course of our time, but I still have a plan of it. And then so I'm really big on having things in line. But, so as I was thinking about what to do or what else to speak on, then Tim says, well, I think you need to speak on a couple of more subjects. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, sure. So I thought, some things that I deal with is, what do you do when you just don't feel it? And I know, after being in the ministry all my life, and my dad as well, there are days I'm going to look at there's some Sundays, man, I get up and I'm tired. Are you? You got to. This is a response class. Y'all can't sit and not look at it. I mean, do you never fight that? Or you're sick? It's not really, to me, it's really hard for me to call in sick, especially on an early Sunday morning when, I mean, who takes my place? You know? And we have a praise band as well, and we, you know, following me is a huge team. And so, you know, I have some lay people that will take my place if possible, but, you know, I just really feel like with teachers, it's hard for us to call in sick, so we kind of push through it. So, also, I think there's times that we get numb or we get discouraged. And it's just tiring sometimes doing both. And I maybe in your world, I'm speaking off of my world, how about that? I get numb or I get tired. One pressure that I constantly feel under is the area of finding new music, something brand new, or something fresh for every Sunday. Now, do you feel that as well? And then also of tracking what songs you do. Because I think, I don't know about you, but we get in a habit of using the same songs. Do you have that? So do you document that?
Yes. Good. I try not to use the same songs over. We had a pastor who did that. He picked the hymns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a
little
different.
I've always done it. And, yeah. you know, and So therefore we sang.
The same.
All the time.
Yeah. Well, the guy that I followed used the same, what was the song? I can't remember. It's been so long. There was one song, and when I stepped in, they said, just don't sing that song. It's really a good song. But they sang it all the time. So how do you track yours?
How do I track them? I have a schedule that I fill out, and mm-hmm. I also do daily or weekly worship schedules, mm-hmm. and then I write a hymn.
Good.
Hymns,
yeah.
Use.
What hymns you
use?
So I've seen that.
Yes.
Do you do that?
I do. I have a printout of the hymnals, of our hymnal, mm-hmm. and the dates. I just put it in the computer. Used. So
good.
If I want to use it, I'll say, oh, just use that 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. And that's a good way to track it. And I didn't realize that was such. But you're kind of drawn to your favorites, or and that's just an instant thing.
Yeah.
How do you introduce new hymns to your services, or new songs? Do you have suggestions or what you
well,
do?
Well, frequently we'll have a special singer mm-hmm. introduce the hymn, and if it has a chorus or a repetition, invite the congregation to come in on that repetition before that special presentation is over. The next Sunday we sing it.
That's good. Anyone else do something different?
Sometimes the choir sings it.
Right, we have the choir do it. Anything? And I didn't get your name. I'm so sorry.
Fred Hempstead.
Hi, Fred. How nice to have you. And where are you from?
Azle.
Say it again.
Azle. Northwest of Fort Worth.
Okay. Well, welcome. Anybody else? How you introduce new songs? We do an offering in our church service. And so I have started, like, if I have a new praise song, we'll take that on, and I'm a month ahead with my praise team rehearsal, so I teach my praise team that a month ahead, and then the praise team sings it during the offering for a month, and then by that time, they kind of have it into their heads, and we use it as a new praise song. And then, I vary it up, or I have solos, or I have, ensembles, or we, mix it up a little bit, but that kind of gives us a different way to introduce it. But the solo, yeah, that's a wonderful idea. So like I said, one of the finding a fresh and creative way of just doing Sundays. We have a set pattern kind of that you do for a service. This inserts here and this inserts there. Do you all have that? And so it's so funny when the pastor wants to do, like, just this last Sunday, it was so wonderful. Since I'm part-time, what I run into or bivocational is I haven't been at church this week. So I walk in. And we've gone to one service during the summer, and I walk in, and I'm walking to the platform, and we've already rehearsed for an hour, but the pastor just didn't have time to talk to me. And he goes, oh, by the way, we've changed the schedule for the service. And I looked at him and went, are you kidding me? And he said, no, we're doing this, and this. Well, I've got 10 people to tell that to, because I've got a sound tech and a praise band and everybody else in the praise team. So I said, well, y'all just keep playing. I'll be back. So they've been welcome a little longer as we, but he's helping to rearrange the service a little bit. But it's just, we're really the thing that keeps it all flowing together. And I think that's so important of what we do, because how we flow makes this, I think, easier for the Spirit to come in. And, I was talking to our church Wednesday night and kind of sharing with what I was doing. And I really feel that our job is to prepare the hearts for the message. And I believe that we can have a message just as strong in what we sing, and we focus on that. I also, another frustration is finding something new for Christmas. There's all, and Easter, and 4th of July, and, what are you going to come in? God has led me to do an Easter pageant, and we have 100 in it, and actual singers, and I've been very blessed that I have a lady who's in my church that is a phenomenal stage coordinator, and we have a huge temple with styrofoam. It's just amazing what she does in our church. But after this last one, which we run it for 3 years, and then we take a break, and then I find a new one, and it's just hard to keep finding new dramatic musicals or whatever you're looking for. But inevitably, after any service or any kind of special program I have, a church member will come up and say, man, that was wonderful. So, like, what are you going to do next year? And
yeah.
I'm like, next year? Are you kidding? Don't talk to me about next year. I don't know. It's like, I'm just exhausted from this year. I can't even think about next year. But, those are things that we run into. And I wanted to share with you. I left these out when I did my other one. I don't know if you've seen these, but these are the Ultimate Idea Book for Music Ministries, and it's volume 1 and 2. And I ran across these, and y'all can look through these. I'm sorry I haven't marked them up. But it has ideas for, like, new choir pushes, for personal development, for inspirational worship, relationship administration, general just drama, seasonal things. But it has also testimonies from other ministries, from other music ministries. But it really has some great for, I got some really great ideas for choir push we want in new involvement. So how do you have, I mean, what size is your choir?
We're small, 20, 25 maybe. And, okay. And for big days, like Easter and Christmas, we'll have close to 40.
That's good. How do you run?
We're smaller than that.
We're smaller than that? 10. 10? Well, that's all right.
I'm like an ensemble.
That's all right. That's all right. And how about?
About the same as over there. We have a combined choir of maybe 30 or 35, mm-hmm. but we usually don't have everybody there but maybe 3 or 4 times a year. So yeah. It's more like, you know, 12, 14, and 20-something.
Yeah.
40 to 50.
40 to 50. And how about you?
25.
25. Well, I think I have a problem with just, and we're going to talk about that too in a minute. I have an A-B choir is what I call them. And we even talk about in the choir. I mean, now, we have 75 on roll, and if they all show up, we're in trouble because we cannot put them on the stage. I mean, it just doesn't fit in our church is the problem. And, you know, at one point, we almost felt like we had more in the choir than we did in the congregation. We just flip them around, you know. It was kind of weird. And I was glad my pastor didn't get intimidated, but because it was kind of really strange. you know, the point is and I really, really feel in my heart, and I tell my people this, I get on my box a lot. You can have a choir of 10. You can have an effective choir of 10 if their heart is in the area of serving the Lord. And I'm really strong on that. I don't want to get involved in the ministerial speaking we have, you know, this many in our choir, because I don't think that. I really want people who want to serve the Lord. And I, you know, if that means I have 10 in my choir who really, their heart is focused and committed to serving God, then I think that's the most important thing. And I think choirs right now is not the big push. I don't know in Texas, but I think a lot of our churches have gone to praise teams. And they've disbanded the choirs. And so the other, which I'm not going to get onto, the other session I'm doing, I talk a little bit about is choir man's idea or God's idea and what's our vision on that. So that was the session coming up. But, you know, kind of talk about that because I know now that a lot of churches are going away with them. And it's easier. I mean, I you know, it has to be easier because we don't have to deal with 45 different personalities. But, I mean, you know, but... how does that affect worship? And what if we look in the scriptures, how does that, you know, what does God think about that? Another frustration area that I have found is, I know you all feel this, but we live in this fishbowl. You've got to admit that, right?
Okay.
Because, I mean, in our churches we do. You know, I've even been in a church when I was married into an area where we were told what to wear. You know, and even during the weekday, we couldn't wear pants in the sanctuary. I mean, it was very, very strict. Now, whether I agreed with it or not, we're still obeyed, or was, you know, we did what our pastor asked us to do. And we, you know, whether we disagreed, and we would have the freedom to kind of go, really? But we would do it anyway. I mean, you know, because that's just out of respect. But we live in that fishbowl of people watching us, and sometimes I think the churches take ownership on us. I mean, do you feel that? Maybe not. We have. Well, they, you know, they watch what we do, and that's nice in a certain area because they also take care of us. But we have that ownership. I'm gonna get my little thing. We also deal with an opposition of music styles. You said a more traditional music.
We have two congregations almost.
Really? Do you have two different services as mm-hmm. well? Okay, so you've gone to like a more
same sermon, but yet all dressings.
Now that's a lot of work.
It is.
That's a lot of work.
Which is why we have two men. One does the one and one does the other.
That's a blessing, I'm telling you. Because we talked about that when we went to two services, and the pastor before wanted me to do the choir in both, and then they talked about traditional, and you know, and I kind of went, okay, yeah, you're talking part-time. I kept saying, part-time, I'm talking part-time, because that's a whole new set of music, you know, new rehearsal of what you do now. So you do the more traditional. Now, what instruments and what do you use?
We use a piano, organ, and synthesizer, and frequently we'll bring in special instrumentation for anthems.
That's good. And then the other service is
praise band.
Yeah. Style. Now, do they
I think they're about six, seven, maybe 10 members, mm-hmm. And they vary.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Now, my praise band plays for both, so my praise band is there from 7:30 in the morning until 12:30. So that's a long morning for us. And we always try, like, I always try to have breakfast or something for them because they're kind of dragging in when they come in. But yours get a little break. Now, your service is back-to-back?
No, we have Sunday school in the middle.
Okay, that's what we do then.
Yeah, so the praise team, the second service praise team rehearses during the Sunday school hour.
Okay. I mean,
they have rehearsed, but we rehearse.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That works. Now, what is your service? Is it
I'm so glad you asked. Listen to this.
Okay.
Long story short.
Yeah. I love this is it. I always love to hear the difference of what we do.
We've taken a long time to get to this point, but right now we currently do an 8:30 traditional service with a smaller choir. We do an 11 o'clock traditional, exact same format, so we can rehearse as a mass group, which really helps.
Mm-hmm.
We do handbells, that sort of thing. And then at 11 o'clock, we have a concurrent contemporary service.
At the same time.
In the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And both pastors and myself are part of both 11 o'clock services.
Wow.
It's a little
I'm
wild.
So glad you're like, you're part of that creative music brand that can do that flip-flop world.
Right.
So you run back and forth.
Yeah, all three of us do at some certain point. It's very intricate.
Now that's very different.
Mm-hmm. And so, we thought it was going to be really bad, but the Lord come through, and yeah, the worship space is good, the timing works out.
Good. So it's just on how you kind of schedule your worship service,
right.
How it fits into it. It's like a
right, we front load the sermon, the traditional, we back load the sermon, and you know, push them out to the sides and fill the rest with music.
Don't tell my pastor that.
Okay.
He might be going, I might be doing that.
Talk about planning a Sunday.
Oh, I'm telling you. No wonder you'd be able to be a dad at home. That would take a forever plan. That's wonderful, but I'm impressed. Okay, so yours is more traditional is what I'm assuming.
We have an 8:45 service that uses the Cokesbury, mm-hmm. old hymns, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a tailored. They don't like a lot of liturgy. They don't, you know, just cut and dry. 45 minutes,
mm-hmm.
no choir,
mm-hmm.
hymns.
Yeah.
And we have had a contemporary service sandwiched in between. We had all kinds of problems with that, time, scheduling, place to have it. So that was kind of gone by the wayside. The pastor was preaching three times,
mm-hmm.
and so he's the one that kind of did away with that one.
Yeah.
At the 11 o'clock, we choir, blend in some praise and worship and that kind of service.
Yeah.
Handbells, children.
Now you coordinate that all together?
Yes.
Okay. What do you do?
One service, and we do praise music.
Okay.
Scripture songs.
Okay. Sir?
We started out with one service. We went to two services that were exactly alike, except in the early service, it was quartets and duets and
mm-hmm.
things, but exactly the same hymns and everything. And the choir sang in the second service. Then we got rid of the space and wanted to encourage people to come to the early service, so the choir started singing in both services. I had about 17 or 18 that would sing in both, and another 5 or 6 that would sing in the early but not the late.
Yeah.
Or the late and not the early.
Yeah.
Then we grew some more and started a contemporary. It went on in the fellowship hall that just had two doors in between, and
mm-hmm.
the pastor, they would do one song and the pastor would preach, and we would do our whole set of songs, and then he would come over and preach, and they would do all of their songs. Now we've got a new multi-purpose, it's a conference center and a youth building that's state-of-the-art with all the bells and whistles, and I've got a team that does that. I have nothing to do with it.
That's good.
But it still happened at the same time as the second service. The pastor's still preaching at all three. Sunday school in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've gone to a heritage service for the early service, and we don't have choir singing it anymore.
Okay.
We had a department of adults that were was singing all of their favorite songs, and they had the older, best Bible teachers in the church, and so they were having church and not coming to worship. So we're now having a heritage service and using some of them to sing in that service and things like that. So they're coming back to their service, and now we're growing in that one again. And the contemporary church is just going crazy with growth. But all three services are still growing.
That's wonderful.
But I'm full time.
Yeah.
I'm not, but I don't have anything to do with that. When the handbells play, they play in both services.
Mm-hmm.
When the choir would sing an anthem with the orchestra, they would do that in both services about every 6 weeks. I did have about a 20-piece orchestra in the second service, and now they've all gone to contemporary worship service because they need musicians,
mm-hmm.
guitars,
yeah, that's based on
singers
that.
And everything. So I saw my best musicians over there, so I don't know what we're doing this year.
Yeah. So I see that we're all kind of formulating all different styles of worship. Okay, my big question for you is, how do you keep from getting exhausted or burning out from that? What are some strategies that you do for that?
Come to places like this.
Yeah, very good, yeah. Come where you can get renewed. You know, it's so funny, I know that I'm, like I said, we always used to say, preaching to the choir, but I think we forget this. Guys, we have to first make sure that we in our own hearts are in alignment with God. And I know I fight, and I'm going to talk on just me because I don't know y'all, but on my own life, when I'm this busy, it's really a struggle to make sure I have time to sit quietly with the Lord. And, you know, I would talk in my choir, that if it wasn't a problem, we wouldn't have so much to do about Scripture. But finding time just to be one-on-one with God and making that your main priority of life. And because all my creativity that I come up with comes directly from God. It's not Angela's ability, but it's from what God gives us. And I think one of the big things that we do is making sure that we're having our quiet time and spending time on Bible study, because I don't have time to go to Sunday school. You know, and sometimes even during the service, I'm having to fix problems that are going on. I can't really have time to listen to what God wants to do through the sermon. I mean, you know, if the screens are down or they're always calling me for emergencies or problems. So that individual Bible time, study time, prayer time is really important to me. And I always love to come to conferences because I think that's where God can speak through you and tell you, slow down. You know, make sure, I have to do it in the mornings, even if I have to get up early, because once my feet hit the floor, I don't stop until, you know, late at night. And then if I try to read my Bible at night, I fall asleep in the middle of the scripture. So I could not sleep, put it on my face. But, you know, making sure that you spend time just to know, you know, that He is in control. And I know that's simple stuff, but I think we forget about that. I read a lot of books, and I didn't used to. Are you a reader? Oh, I'm sorry, this is your question.
Well, I was going to say two other things that I do. One of them is sing with the singing men on simple
places. Good,
places.
Good.
And join their email group.
Mm-hmm.
The fellowship with them and the struggles they're going through, and
well,
the sharing of music.
That, yeah.
And I don't know about the other parts of Texas, but North Central Texas group is a fantastic group.
That's
singing,
wonderful.
Fellowship, resources, and everything. The other thing I do
That's
is go for a motorcycle ride.
Very good. Well, I have a convertible. I call it my midlife crisis car. And my mother, I'm only 52, but my mother won't let me get a motorcycle, so I got a convertible. But I have that on my finger. Making sure that you have other interests. And not just, I mean, my radius of my life is a mile. I drive two blocks to school, I turn across the street to my church, and then I come back home. And I don't know, if I could never leave Lexington ever in my life. And they would, and my brother is in the music ministry as well, and he said they will use you up as much as you give them. And that's not a negative thing, but they will use you up as much as you will allow them. You know, and make sure that it's God's idea, not just man's idea, that God is leading you to do that. And I talked about some more there with the Bible vocational. And one of my biggest things about Bible vocational is I know that people can sing and play music. That's wonderful. But if you're not called into the ministry to do that, don't do it. Whoever said ministry was easy was not telling you the truth. But make sure you're called to that. Make sure God is that's a calling on your life. I mean, it's nice that you have that ability and those wonderful talents, but make sure that's when you're supposed to be doing it, because it can really be struggling for you. But those are very true. I sing in the singing church when we're in Oklahoma, and so once a month I get out, and when I hired for both jobs, I said, I'm leaving once I'm out of here, you know. And then conferences are wonderful. Another conference that God has allowed me to go to is the Brooklyn Tab Conference in New York, which was crazy that my choir, my church would send me there, but they have for 5 years, and I have taken choir members there, and it is phenomenal. That's actually where God kind of led me, because it was right in the early in my ministry. They have a for music ministers. And I got to meet Carol and her husband, but her whole basis of their choir, and y'all have heard of Brooklyn Tab, right?
Yes. Oh, man,
okay. Their whole base is built off of prayer. Their choir, it's a very, very, very strongly structured around prayer and their church. And so that's when I came back, I really formulated our choir that we start our choir every time with prayer and really open it up to the Lord. And I found, as the musician part of me, I want to hop right into teaching those songs, and we go like 4 to 5 weeks ahead and really hammer it. But then God goes, now Angela, give me my time, and then I'll make your other time more productive. And I thought, if you just release that control, he always does. He lets that happen. And so that, you know, that really has up, because you need a time to rejuvenate, to learn. And then later on I talk about, which is an excellent point, of connecting with other people in your state or even in your community of talking, because a lot of the same frustrations you're having in your choir with some people, somebody has already gone through it or have experienced it, are experiencing it. Cutbacks in music where you can share music. I mean, there's a lot of avenues. There's avenues that you can tap into that, if you just branch out to other people. And you're wonderful in that you have a coworker, you know, to bounce stuff off with. And I think that's a blessing.
It is a total blessing.
Yeah.
I select the music, as you said, by the time we start choir, I'll have the year through Christmas.
Uh-huh.
But I make the selections, then I go to him and I say, here's what I think. He listens to everything, and sometimes he'll say, are you sure we can?
Yeah.
So a thought I may not have had, he provides. It's a great partnership,
yeah.
And very helpful.
Yeah, and I have blessed that every job that I've been at, they've hired my mother as my assistant. My mom is a piano player, and phenomenal. And she's here with me this time, she's 81, but she looks like my age. She looks like me. That's it. She's great. She's a wonderful lady and plays well, but she's my assistant and everything. And so I have that ability to bounce it. You know, do we like the song? Do we not? We think that'll reach. You know, and she keeps me, also in frustrating moments, gives me another view of, now wait a minute, maybe this is what they were saying, or, you know, and kind of helps out in that area. But I like to read. I didn't before. I didn't even do computers before I went into all this ministry. Now I have like 3 computers, a laptop, and an iPad, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I couldn't even turn these things on. But Max Lucado has a little story that I love about, and I'm just going to read it to you, that it says, Chirpy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. He said the problems begin when Chirpy's owner decided to clean Chirpy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when she sucked in Chirpy. He said the bird owner in the grass gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chirpy, still alive, but a little dazed and stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced him to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chirpy under the running water. Then realizing that Chirpy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Okay? Poor Chirpy never knew whatever hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who initially had written down about the event contacted Chirpy's owner to see how the bird was recovering, and she said, he doesn't sing much anymore. Just kind of sits there and stares. And it's hard to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over, that's enough to steal a song from the stoutest heart. It says, can you relate to Chirpy? Sometimes that happens to us. Most of us can. 1 minute we're seated. This talks about in familiar territory with a song on our lips, and all of a sudden you're called into the pastor's office and asked to leave your church. Or a policeman can knock on your door and your life shatters. But you're sucked into a black cavern of doubts with cold water and reality and stung with hot air of empty promises. The life that has been so calm is now so stormy. You've got hailstones by demands, assault by doubts. But even during this time, ever found yourself in the storm of life like that? Have you ever come across that if you live? Life happens, doesn't it? Even in ministry or just real life. And then you have to keep on with the ministry even if your real life is rough. So, aside from the crucifixion day, Christ had a day like that. Jesus Christ did. A stressful day where the bad news, demanding crowds, his friends left him. But Christ, Jesus Christ, kind of fed the same things. But Jesus still remained calm. And I think that's where it comes. That we have what the world doesn't understand, guys. We have that calm assurance of Jesus Christ, knowing that we're doing the right job. We're doing a job that he called us to do. But yet we can, and I love the statement, he says, we need to be reminded that the same voice that stilled the raging sea of Galilee can still the world around you. And I'll give you an example. During my Easter program this last year, in fact, this last year was one of the worst years I've ever had in ministry. During our second semester, my whole life is in semesters. Sorry, I had first semester, which is my second semester. I saw a lot of people laugh at me, but that's how I kind of rule my life. But second semester, in high school vocal, we have our districts in our state in Oklahoma, and we go to those. And I took 6 choirs to districts, and I took 46 solos and 12 ensembles. During the same time, we're putting on our Easter production at the church. And so it's just a little crazy anyway, and so, you know, trying to juggle both worlds. But in the meantime, my mother is diagnosed with liver cancer, and so we're dealing with that. And then on the other side of life, I have 2 choir members, one that has been out of the church for a year, and another choir member who you can speak English, and they hear Chinese. And I mean, whatever I said, they could not hear. What I was saying was not what they were hearing at all. I even had witnesses with me. And they just came at me with a wrath of anger. And I'm like, and even one point, we had a meeting with them, and I was trying to talk to this man. And actually, I had sat, and one of my officers was talking, and he was saying, we're not going to, can't do Easter. And he was supposed to help build the set. And he was making the call. We're cutting down Easter. We're not going to do it. And we hadn't even started. And I wanted to say something. Okay, when did you become the director? But it never came out of my mouth. And finally, he stood up and just screamed at me. And yelled at me and said, you're just not listening. And his wife was sitting there and he goes, she hasn't said a word. What are you talking about? And sometimes we fight the adversary, do we not? And that, at that point, the veil over my eyes came and thought, I'm not fighting against you and I. This is a spiritual realm of attack because I had actually just been sitting still. But yet in his mind, he was hearing arguments. And so, you know, that's kind of scary. But at that point, I felt like chirpy. I had felt like I had been just blown over. And so at that point, when you get to that, because you will receive, you will finally get to that any kind of ministry, what do? You center yourself back in the will of God and just get one-on-one with him. I think that's so important. You know, in Scripture, the moment, iPad here, it talked about Paul. He understood very much how trying ministry can be. In Galatians, he said, let us not become weary in well-doing. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest. And if we do not give up. And I know sometimes people are faced with, okay, this is too much. I can't do this. And if we know that giving up, if you're called, that calling just doesn't leave because somebody has hurt you in your choir or have spread rumors or, you know, any part of that ministry. I feel you can't just say, okay, God, I quit. This is not working more. Because my dad was kind of the ministry in which he was a pastor. We work till Jesus comes. I mean, you know, we do. I mean, he went through retirement. He never retired. He preached the Sunday before he died the next week. With, you know, it's just like this. But we just go on to greater things. But, you know, it's we've got to remember who we serve. and why we serve. Dealing with people, I think, is frustrating at times, but yet there are blessings as you see lives turned around and people touched. And, you know, we in one of our Easter programs, we had a 35-year-old man come to know Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And our last one, we had six salvations, people coming to know Jesus Christ. But as long as we keep our focus on who we sing for, I mean, is that where you come back to? When you come back to the point of, this is why I do it. And it can't be for man's applause, because that will fade. And they will turn on you as quick as they will clap for you. They'll turn and say, no, I didn't like that. But it has to be for God's applause and to touch the heart of God. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, since God, through God's mercy, we have the ministry, that we do not lose heart. We are pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Because through Jesus Christ, he says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I think we forget so many times just to come back to the cross and take it there. I try to pick songs in our ministry that people can cling on to, because I know, like in hymns, we've been raised, I was raised on hymns, and so some of the dear hymns touch my heart. But I keep telling my people, I don't think God stopped giving inspiration, you know, just in the hymns times. I think it's continued on, but they just aren't familiar through the times of struggle. But I think there are some beautiful songs that can touch their hearts as long as they connect that to that. And so any other suggestions that you can give to kind of help your ministry that you have come across? Because I think that's a biggie, is sharing, you know, with organizing of your songs. You do it through Christmas. I do it through May. I also have a rotation of solos and ensembles that sing, and I assign them a Sunday, and then I hand that list to them ahead of time. We also do a choir push. Do any of you do a choir to enroll more people? Do you do that? Do any of you do that? What, have you done any kind of special things?
Our main thing is 1 month during the summertime, I kind of let choir members that are getting burned out, I let them take off. We invite more people from the congregation just to... You know, people that can't make long-term commitments or are not quite sure about it, they can just come in, low commitment, just get in there and get a part of it.
Kind of get a taste of what it feels like. That's good. That's good. And we take a couple of months off, actually. We don't do choir. And then it's kind of nice because then the people go, so, like, when's the choir coming back? I'm like, you miss us? So that's good to be missed.
Does the praise team ever get time off then?
Yes. I let the praise team go off, too. And I have about four people who never went off. They want to sing every Sunday, and it's a private thing. They just love to sing. And so I ask who would like to serve on the summer praise team, and then I have about four or five that would like to do that, and so they do. Yeah, we try to get everybody, especially after Easter. They're exhausted, and so we try to get them. Now, the only problem is our praise band doesn't. And so I try to watch, you
that's
know.
What I, that's what I, the thing I was worried about is you and Choir Officer. All of our organizations have the month of July on, mm-hmm. but the choir still sings in the morning service. We mm-hmm. find the things that, you know, their favorites from the past.
Yeah, big favorite songs, yeah.
I was in Chuck Riddle's class, and it would be a good one to go to. He's good to offer one more time. He calls them summer hunters.
Yeah.
He enlists people.
That's cute, that's good. Summer hunters.
Yeah, the summer and take the place of some of those. He had a great class. I mean, it was lightning quick. But on choir enrollment, finding them, training them, and maintaining them or something.
Right.
I forget what the three sessions were, but he's offering one more time. It was a great
That's good.
Session. There's another book besides those two. Bob Burrows did one, and I can't remember the name of it. But he's got another music
book. Yeah.
Idea like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do a choir push in August or September, and we do one like we've even done Squeal and a Singer since we're country folks, and that came right out of the book. If you put the little brochures in the back of your pulpit, and it has where you can write a name. If somebody hears somebody singing, they can write the name down. We got several choir members from that. We've had Each One Reach One, where you go, one person just brings a guest to choir, because your choir is your greatest, you know, recruiters that you've got. We've done Get Behind Your Pastor, Join the Choir, you know, and we go out and reach them that way. So we try to do some big choir push. My big thing is, like he said, is not only just getting your choir members, but making them a difference between a volunteer choir member and a committed choir member. I think that's the big key of how to, because a volunteer choir member comes just to, like, to have fun and to meet friends and, you know, to sing and laugh. But a committed choir member is going to be one who's going to come to choir and come to church on Sunday morning, whether they have friends or not, but they're singing for the Lord. They're committed to singing for Jesus Christ. And I think that helps the choir.
That was one of the things he said, was you can be enthusiastic in your enlistment, but if when they come to choir rehearsal, nobody paid any attention to them, or you're not the same personality in rehearsal as you were in enlistment,
they're not going to stay. Yeah, and that's very true. And that's one thing that I am real big on about, because I guess my time is so precious. If they can't want to come and spend an hour and a half with me on Wednesday night after a full day of work, I've got to make sure that there's some fun and they do have laugh and they do enjoy it. But yet there is, I consider it like a great opportunity for a worship time as well. And they consider it like a midday, you know, uplifting time to get refueled to finish out the week. And so, you know, we do fun things of, like, throwing candy bars out for birthdays, you know, at the beginning of the month. And then during the summer month before we quit, I bring them, you know, popsicles, or, you know, we take a couple of minute break. I throw it at them. So they love that. I get thrown popsicles at them, or ice creams. Or, you know, we also do a Christmas in September. Have y'all ever heard anything about that?
Christmas, we do in October.
October. But it's to introduce a Christmas musical. Instead of, you know, waiting until the time, we kind of meet beforehand. We've done 50s in September, and we went to a restaurant that's all 50s style, and I rented out the restaurant. We've done, we're actually going to do a Cajun feel. This one, I'm going to do a big crab shrimp boil for them and have it for them. But we try to do some fun things like that just to kind of spur. And they when we do the Christmas time, they dress up in Christmas sweaters, and we drop the air conditioner, and we have Christmas trees and cookies. And it's really, and then we have Christmas drawings for Christmas things. And so it's kind of just, it's a little fun, add a little fun and flavor to it. But I think that's very true. And then I think one more step further in the ministry is we try to make sure that it's not all about us. Because as musicians, we can become all about us. And I know you have dealt with divas. I can say that because I'm a soprano. But we do have some divas in our little midst. But I do some strange things in that we don't do solos. People don't just walk into my choir and get a solo, even if they have a beautiful, God-blessed voice. We work as servants in our choir about 3 to 4 months, and even longer. And it kind of just depends on the personality of the person that I see, of how we work with it. They cannot even be a part of our praise team for a whole year. They have to be part of serving with us in the choir and being part of that ministry. But we also do, like, our choir took on a project during the summer. We kind of did a flip this house type thing, where you go in and totally repaint and fix a person's house. And so we're always looking for needs and thinking of new yards, or we try to take a mission project on. And where we help right now, we have a choir member who used to serve with us, and her family is still active in our church, has just surrendered to the mission field. And so we are going to be starting to collect and support her financially as she is taking part in that mission field when they come back. So it's getting outside of who we are and making sure that we focus on ministry. One last thing, I tell the choir, when we come up, we sit up in front of our audience. So we have a bird's eye view of who the people are. And I remind them that, like our pastor, we can see visitors and we can see people who are new. That I said, their main mission, we still do the old-fashioned shaking hands type thing. I don't know if y'all do or not. But their main job is to go out, not to old people that they know or friends or family, but to find the new people and to welcome them into our church and to make sure that they, you know, watch for the need. If somebody needs a hug today, because a lot of people will not show it on their face. That need, you know, they can put that happy face on when they get to church, but you need to look into their eyes. We make a point of just really trying to look into the souls and see how we can help and love on our congregation as well. So that's kind of some things. I also have some other great books. I don't know that I have one, The Worshiping Artist. Have you seen these? Have y'all? And The Heart of the Artist and The Thriving Artist. These are also wonderful. The newest one that has come out, Kimke's. I go to the Kimke's reading session, if you didn't know about that. Kimke's has one in Dallas, and it's a three-day music reading session. That's where I get all my music. Starts at 8:30 and stops about 6, and I hear so much music, it's unreal. It's and a lot of music in it too. It's like that. It's great. You get to hear a lot of a variety of style. It's not all just one style. But the God Singers has come out, and then they have a workbook for a choir for your praise team to do with this, and this is really good as well. So, well, any questions, concerns, or things that?
One little thing. When you were talking about greeting time during the service,
mm-hmm.
your choir goes down
mm-hmm.
and that takes how much time out of the
it
service?
It doesn't take very long. About 2 or 3 minutes, actually. It could be up to 5. It depends. But I pull them back in when I start singing. They just are on cue. When I start actually singing,
and the whole choir?
The whole choir just goes right back up into the choir.
I don't see that happening.
It's been amazing. But they are real good about it. They go out, the music starts, and they go out and shake. And then when I pull them back up, they come right back up. Yeah, it's really quite, it's crazy. Because we have that's a big choir to move. And
yeah.
They did. But we have, our stage is full open. There's no obstacles to walk around. We've removed everything and they can walk up. Before I forget, I was going to tell you that another thing I do real fast is we do a welcome to the worship choir. I realized that when people would come to choir, they wouldn't know where to go. Like they'd say, so what do we do next Sunday? Or what? So we have a little handout that I have an officer team, and that's since being bivocational, I have to have help. I mean, it's crazy. And I have a president. I have 3 vice presidents. I have a His Touch team, a seating coordinator. I have librarians. I have people who do my PR. I really have a great officers team that meets together. We meet once a month for a meeting to kind of keep me in track. And I have a lady who does all my tech. And as all my, we have a great, and that is because of her ability, but we have a prayer line set up. And now it's become the church, any kind of prayer needs, they call and contact me and then contact her. And then we have a massive network that goes out with our emails. And then I have a text on my phone and we send out. And we're getting now calls from other places in Oklahoma for our choir to pray. But we have, it gives kind of just a little something for me and core values. You know, what do I do? Where do I go? Talks about, and it kind of gives that how to join, you know, worship choir. Talks about kind of like questions you may have, like, do I sit in the congregation on a Sunday if I don't sing on Wednesday? Kind of addresses those kind of questions. If you're interested in solos or duets, it talks about that, about child care, kind of. So we hand that to them. But we have greeters that when I'm starting rehearsal, if we have someone new, I have 2 people who are assigned to, if a new person comes in, they go up to them immediately and take control. And then we have a sheet of choir information, and we fill that out. And then we have section leaders that have volunteered that will be their buddy. And so we get their music, and then they sit by that buddy, and they kind of introduce them and kind of make them not feel strange coming into choir. And then that paper that they fill out, they give to me, and then we make a copy and give to our tech person, and she enters, and then I make a contact and have a time to visit. So it's kind of... A big way of not burning out is just you've got wonderful people who would love to help you if you can find the right team to put together. And it has helped me out that way tremendously. So, well, thank you guys. I will let you go. It's nice to meet you. And we'll be praying for all your crazy schedules. That's wonderful. So let's hope you're having a good conference. I'd like to go ahead and end the word of prayer if you wouldn't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'd just like to come to you and just thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, just bless them in a major way of their ministry and keep your hand upon their lives and on their families as well, Lord. And just go with us and let us have a time just to find rest and peace in you this week. In your precious holy name.